My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to another episode of Character Concerns with Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. I am Nick Short. Guys, we are 7 days removed from Mock Draft 1.0, and I have a question for you guys. Why did it turn into 1.0 when it comes to mock drafts? It can't ever just be Mock Draft 1, Mock Draft 2. It's always 1.0. I don't ever see Mock Draft 1.5.
Well, you just have to do it sequential, like 1.0, 2.0.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, but why yeah, the decimal system?
We don't need the decimals.
And then there's a race, though, nationally, for people to be 8.0, 9.0, you know.
I don't know where we added the decimal points, yeah. But I think it sounds more scientific.
We'll just be unique and just go Mock Draft 1, Mock Draft 2.
But no, because now I feel like we need to be a part of the club.
Didn't we put 1.0 last week for so we have to do it now. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Do it like a Top Gun, Mock 1, Mock 2, Mock 3, Mock 4.
How about this, guys? Well, we could try something new today, because we are going to do another mock draft today, but we are just going to be drafting round one. So all 31 picks of round one, we could call this one Mock Draft 1.5.
Yeah, because it's a cross between a Chiefs-only mock.
Actually, I like that because it's different.
Which, by the way, I continue to get mock drafts with like 12 picks. Hey, Jay, what do you think of this mock? It's like, well, I like your picks, but you get two extra
ones. Once I start counting the picks and I realize it's too many, I just like
it. You guys are both better than me about when people send in the mock drafts about responding and giving them grades. I need to start getting better. And I'm going to start grading you the same way that Pro Football Focus grades you when you put your mock in on their website. By the way, how are you guys feeling now a week later from our mock draft?
You know, I'm fine with it. Pro Football Focus is great. You know, it's kind of funny because if you take their best player available, you're going to probably end up with an A. Or anyway, because they tell you who you should take.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you venture out there, remember, Patrick Mahomes got a bunch of C minuses and stuff like that during the draft process. I'm happy with it. I really like that one pick. You know, with Jalin Hyatt, you know, my feelings towards him from the beginning. You made that pick, Nick, at 31, and he's showing up in more and more mock drafts. I mean, some of them
that actually scares me. I don't want groupthink.
It's what happens sometimes, you know. And I've seen two recent NFL.com ones. Charles Davis even had Jalin Hyatt going as well. So it's starting to get more buzz, which is good, because those that don't like Jalin Hyatt, throw him in the second or the third.
Well, by the way, the guys who are most commonly mocked to the Chiefs a year ago were Dax Hill, the safety out of Michigan.
Yep.
Boye Mafe, Arnold Ebukadi. Those were the guys that were routinely, and Kyir Elam.
Christian Watson got some run towards the end.
He did. But and Sky Moore a little bit too, but not super common. So
just to be clear, like we go with these popular picks, but then you realize like we don't even know if the Chiefs were ever in on Dax Hill. We don't even know if they had a first round grade on him.
I don't think they
did. The same with all of these dudes. So it's fun. That's the whole point of doing these mock drafts, and we have fun with it, and we're going to have fun with this one again today.
And here's the thing. You see a lot of these articles and stuff that come out about top 30 visits. Keep this in mind. A lot of times that's a smokescreen, and the Chiefs bring in a lot of top 30 visits that are probably sixth rounder, seventh rounder, undrafted, but it can be a smokescreen. Oh, the Chiefs brought him in.
By the way, I got a smokescreen for you.
But they use that as a smokescreen quite a bit.
Darnell Wright, tackle out of Tennessee, posted to his Instagram story today walking through the new Kansas City airport.
That is a breaking news item right there.
It's confirmed. Darnell Wright to Kansas City at pick number 31. We can just end this podcast right now.
100% convinced they will not take an offensive tackle.
The funniest thing is, when they do when the guys call in, if they've been drafted by the Chiefs, because they have every single one of them.
Yeah.
And one of the questions always is from the media, once they get past the barbecue questions, did the Chiefs ever talk to you during the process? And many of the times, it's no. Because they don't want people to know they're talking, because they already know about you. They're already doing PIs and bringing in and finding out everything about you personally. So it is a game. I know people are panicking, which is funny because I remember a couple years ago.
Wait, who's panicking?
Oh, the fans are about the Chiefs wide receiver.
Yeah, they are.
People now believe that wide receiver. Wide receiver round one becomes more pertinent because that's kind of where the Chiefs are banking the draft here. Is a couple years ago, Dusty and I were doing it at night, and that's when they signed Tyrann Mathieu. And the whole open was that I was saying, hey, calm down, don't panic. The Chiefs have something up their sleeves, and I clearly believe they have something up their sleeves for this draft, and I do think it will be a wide receiver in the first round.
Okay, so that's the whole reason why we wanted to do this today. I know last week we did the 7-round Chiefs mock draft, but specifically, you know, everybody wants to know, who are the Chiefs going to take in the first round? Who are they going to be targeting at pick number 31? And it's a hard question to answer without knowing what's going to happen in the first 30 picks of that draft, right? The first episode we did of this podcast, we talked about what are the defining characteristics of this draft class. And we talked a lot about the quarterbacks that are going to be going at the top and how that's going to impact and have ripple effects throughout the rest of the first round. That's why we want to sit down. We're going to do a 31 pick round one mock draft to try and get a sense of what other teams may be looking for, how this draft board may fall to the Chiefs, and how that's going to impact what they do, not only at pick 31, but how that affects what they're going to do with the rest of the draft. So we are going to do the same thing that we did last week. We will go around in a circle. We'll take turns making these different selections. I haven't even done the math yet as to doing it. I know the draft order is going to be Bink first, Chris second, myself third, so I don't know who will get the Chiefs pick. Have we decided?
I'm figuring it out right now. I'm putting my picks on my phone here so I can figure
it
out.
Is it going to
put
be
them all on your phone?
Do
so
we want to do
keep
a,
them, keep them? We didn't document this. So.
Do we need to do a group selection for pick 31?
We can do a group selection since all three of us.
I don't know, but what if I don't like who you want to pick?
Well, what if I don't like? Last week we all had to agree.
Bink's going to get it.
It was like a jury.
Okay, Bink's gonna get it.
I just did the math calculation.
Well, you know where
Bink's
I'm going.
Gonna get the first round.
Well, what if now? You know what now?
No,
see, now I can be strategic.
No.
I'm gonna take all Bink's guys early.
This is not how we're gonna do this. You're gonna do this.
Can I go ahead with 31 now?
No.
We're not going in reverse order.
We can't. Don't get saucy here.
Okay.
Don't get saucy here. Pick who you think is the best player for that team at that position.
Okay.
Don't take Jalen Hyatt just because you want to slip Bink up.
Okay. Why don't you, Chris, show me how it's done, because you are now on the clock. The Carolina Panthers at pick number one.
Oh no, it's Bink first.
Oh yeah, Bink. Sorry, Bink's you're first.
Awesome. You try to steal Bink's thunder.
see if I can slip
throw
that in there.
Throw him off there.
Get my Roger Goodell voice.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers in the first pick of the 2023 draft here in Kansas City, glorious Kansas City, be C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
I saw the odds makers at this point basically are putting it at about a 60% chance, a 58% chance, I think, that CJ Stroud goes number one overall.
Okay.
I got a big kick out of everybody saying, well, we went to dinner with the Panthers night before. Well, you know what? So did Will Levis. They all took him to dinner the night before the pro day.
The Panthers are trying so hard to convince people.
I just cracked up when people said, well, you went to dinner with the Panthers. Well, yes, but they also took Bryce Young out. Like,
yeah.
And Will Levis.
Yeah.
I know the Panthers are trying hard to trade down if at all possible, because they spent too much to move up to one. They're not going to be able to move down. At second overall pick, I've got the Texans taking quarterback Bryce Young from Alabama.
Okay, so I feel like there's not a lot of drama here in the top three.
The only drama would be if Anthony Richardson goes one or two.
Yeah, which at this point seems like it's just not going to happen. It would be a big swing.
You would think that, but like you know how these teams are. They convince themselves.
So here's the real question. If it goes CJ Stroud and Bryce Young 1-2, which I fully agree will happen. Do you think there is anyone who would value Anthony Richardson or Will Levis enough to jump up and try to trade with the Cardinals at pick three?
I could see the Colts doing it.
Well, yeah. the Colts would only be doing it if they're playing defense, to keep somebody else from getting their guy.
Exactly. Like, I could see that if they convince themselves that someone else is going to try to make that jump, I could totally see that.
I don't think there's a need to, though, because the Cardinals aren't going quarterback. So
right, which that's kind of the point.
Yeah, but like, what if, like, let's say the Falcons decide.
So I think the Cardinals may try to shop this pick if they say, hey, we're not going quarterback. We know there's a lot of quarterback-hungry teams. If you want your guy, here's the spot to do it, because you figure the Colts are taking somebody at four. But let's just assume there are no
trades. But we're not doing trades.
We're not doing trades.
No trades.
So I'm going with Will Anderson, outside linebacker, best defensive prospect in the class. This is kind of a no-brainer for me. Will Anderson at three to the Cardinals.
Such a dominant player. When you watch this guy play, I mean, guy just jumps off the page. This is a guy that's going to be... Well, it's always a run. Can he get the double-digit sacks as a rookie? It's a real hard bar to get to
in the
National Football League. I think he does. And I think he clearly gets there.
All right, Chris, back to you. Or Bink, sorry, I keep trying to do this.
He keeps trying to take away your picks.
It's you. Pick four Indianapolis Colts. You going quarterback here?
Anthony Richardson.
So he seems to pretty firmly have taken over Will Levis for that third quarterback spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a shocker considering how good he was at the combine. And I mean, to be honest, I understand why. I just wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't take him here.
So as far as the Chiefs are concerned, picking 31, it's now 30, 29, 28 players in front of them. Now that
correct.
We have three quarterbacks.
If you just like assuming, they're not taking a quarterback.
So the Chiefs now drop down to pick 28.
Okay, so now here's where the draft, I think, really kind of starts to open up, depending on what you have the Seahawks doing here at pick five, Chris.
Now, I will say this. I think there's a very good possibility that the Seahawks might look to trade back if there's a quarterback needy team and Levis or Richardson still on the board. I could totally see a team trying to trade up with them because this is the pick that they got from the Broncos. So I could totally see them doing that, but obviously no trades here. So in this instance, I'm going to go with edge rusher from Texas Tech, Tyree Wilson, who I actually think has a really good chance to be the best edge rusher from this draft class. Like, just from a physical standpoint.
Even better than Anderson.
Yeah, I think he has a really good chance. Like, just from a physical standpoint, reminds me a lot of, like, a Myles Garrett, just from a body standpoint. And, yeah, I think he's got really good chance of being the best edge rusher.
Okay, so the Lions are sitting here at pick number six. Now, the Lions have multiple picks in the top 20. Their offense was phenomenal last year under Ben Sutton and... Or not Ben Sutton, Ben Johnson, Cameron Sutton, cornerback. They signed a couple. They signed CJ
Gardner-Johnson
and Cameron Sutton. So they've got multiple defensive backs. That's probably what I would have went with, like Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon.
Yeah, everyone was mocking either, was it Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez?
Yeah, so, they could go a lot of different ways here. I could see them going offensive tackle if you maybe like... Peter Skoronski, but you know what? At pick number six, you're going all in on offense, I feel like.
Keep in mind, they also look Luke Van Ness. That is a name.
I know.
I don't like it there early.
Man, okay. So I either want to go offensive tackle or I want to go, like, is it too early to go wide receiver here? Because from a talent perspective, I don't think, this is a little too rich for my blood for going Quentin Johnson or JSN at pick number six. If they're sitting there at pick 9 or 10, I would like it a little bit more.
I mean, this would be like if you're the Lions in this case, especially because they shored up their corner situation, you probably call teams to see if you can trade back a few picks.
They got four defensive backs in free agency.
Yeah.
And so, like, quality.
No wide receivers in free agency.
Exactly. So like in this case, I imagine that the GM for the Lions is going to try to trade back.
You know, you drafted Jameson Williams in the first round last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, that's a really good tandem. Would you go all in and draft another, like a Quentin Johnson type, and just say, okay, he's a number one, right? Quentin Johnson profiles to be a number one receiver in the NFL. I know I'm taking too long on this one.
Well, you have Dan Campbell, an offensive mind, a head coach. So,
and like your quarterback is what's his name
from Stafford?
Not Stafford.
Or Goff.
Goff.
All right,
you got Goff. He's a talent dependent quarterback. I think he gets.
I'm going Quentin Johnston, wide receiver out of TCU. All right, so Bink, back to you.
You have him jumping up a lot more than where he's training lately, which I don't understand. I he hasn't done anything.
I don't know either.
He continues to fall down.
I don't know either. But I think that's just one of the things. Mock draft season, like people kind of just like convince themselves of these narratives and they just kind of roll with them. But seven, Raiders, Bink.
This is where I do think Will Levis ends up.
Okay.
So I'm going the fourth quarterback taken, Will Levis at pick seven to the Raiders.
That's pretty surprising. Why? I mean, they paid Jimmy G. I'm sure that they're going to try to get as much out of him as possible.
Yeah, I still think they're going quarterback.
They very well could. I think, though, a lot of people would be surprised.
Jimmy G is going to be sitting there looking over his shoulder again. And he should be.
He should be.
Because Jimmy G, whose average margin of defeat to the Chiefs is 17 points.
Right,
again.
He should be looking over his shoulder there. So for the Falcons at eight, I think this is where the slippage ends for Jalen Carter. I think he is a great talent. There are some concerns there about what happened at the pro day. Obviously, what happened off the field.
Some character concerns.
There's some character concerns there. But I think that in this situation here, if you're a team like the Falcons, you capitalize on that and you go out there and you get a steal in Jalen Carter at eight.
He's a complete steal, and it's a shame the teams are backing so far away from him. He's still going top 10. I think a lot of teams will regret this. I think they'll look back at it and go, man,
I don't think a lot of teams are going
to
regret this. Maybe like the Lions or the Raiders could regret it if their picks end up not working out. I don't know if a ton of teams are going to regret not picking them, though.
Okay, so now it's back to me with the Chicago Bears at pick nine. I was kind of hoping Jalen Carter might slide to me there, but I think that's probably the wise move to send him to Atlanta. You know, I thought that the Bears were going to be in on Orlando Brown Jr., and they weren't, and they emphasized fit, but I think we kind of learned afterwards that teams around the league just viewed him as more of a right tackle. They did not view him as a solution
Nate
to their
Davis
left tackle.
Nate Davis was the only
problems.
Lineman they brought in. He's a guard. So tackle's available.
No offensive lineman off the board. The real question becomes, who do you think is the best lineman in this draft? And I don't think there is an easy answer. I think Peter Skoronski is probably the popular pick, but Paris Johnson Jr. I think could easily enter his name into this conversation. That's who I'm going with. I'm going Paris Johnson Jr., ninth overall to the Bears. I just think physically, both of those Ohio State tackles are just insane in terms of their size and their physical nature. So I'm going Paris Johnson Jr. at pick number nine.
Protect your franchise quarterback in Justin Fields. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep. All right. So Bink, number 10, Philadelphia.
I'm going to go Peter Skoronski here, the other tackle that you debated on there with Paris. I think you flip a coin on who's the better tackle in that situation. I like the Eagles to shore up that offensive line. Obviously, Lane Johnson there as well. But really, with Philly and their running game, that dominant running game they have, I'm going left tackle Peter Skoronski.
Man, so the Titans are sitting there at 11, and I wonder if they're gonna be one of the teams looking to move up.
I think there's a chance they could.
JSN, Jackson Smith and Digba, I do believe goes here.
I think that there's a very good chance that they could look to move up here, but I think in this situation, though, this is like the perfect scenario. They really need wide receivers. Their old general manager got fired because of the A.J. Brown situation and the fact that they failed to supply Tannehill and Malik Willis with weapons in the passing game. So to me, this is really easy right here. Jackson Smith and Jigba here, wide receiver out of Ohio State for Tennessee.
Yeah, and that's a bummer because once again, I think that's a good call. And once again, I'm sitting here with the Texans at pick number 12, and everything you just said about needing help at wide receiver goes double for the Houston Texans, whose current depth chart looks like Robert Woods and Nico Collins.
it's funny how
they did sign.
Robert Woods
always signed Noah Brown.
Robert Woods always goes to wide receiver needy teams, and he's never enough.
Well, they signed Dalton Schultz, too, who, like, at this point is going to be...
No.
But yeah, man, at this point, he's going to get, like, 120 targets.
Oh, yeah, he's probably going to be a pretty decent fantasy tight end next year because they're going to have no one else to throw to.
This team needs so much help everywhere on the roster. And because wide receivers... there's no wide receivers left, they need help everywhere, and there have been no defensive backs taken here at pick 12. So I think you follow the board, Bink, right? That's what you always tell me.
Let the board speak.
Let the board speak. And the board right now is saying, hey, take your pick. Who is the best cornerback? because none of them have been taken. So this is an easy pick now. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback out of Oregon, going to the Houston Texans at pick 12.
This probably wouldn't be the sexy pick because it isn't the wide receiver. And I actually think there's a good chance the Texans might try to trade up to get ahead of the Titans.
Maybe.
So they can get a wide receiver.
Well, it depends. I mean, I had Quentin Johnson going sixth overall.
Yeah, yeah.
If that doesn't happen, then all of a sudden you get to stay at 12 and get a wide receiver.
Right, but at the same time, if you're in a situation like you got to think, if someone takes a wide receiver, someone takes Quentin Johnston earlier, well, now you definitely need to get ahead of the Titans in order to go get that spot. So yep. I think it's very likely it happens if it plays out the way that it has played out for our mock.
Okay, Bink, back to you at pick 13 with the New York Jets.
They signed one offensive lineman in free agency. He was a guard. I'm going to go Broderick Jones here. I think of the tackles, I put him right there. I don't think there's a huge difference between Jones and Skronsky and Paris. So Broderick Jones goes to the Jets.
Okay, the New England Patriots, Chris, are on the clock at pick 14.
So in this situation here, Patriots' strength right now is their defense, and they're going to want to let that remain their biggest strength right now. And they've had a guy fall to them in our mock that I think fits them perfectly, and that's Devin Witherspoon, the
corner
at Illinois. I feel like that fits him perfectly. Like Bill Belichick loves having really good corners on his team, so I think that's exactly what they could use. Let your defense remain your biggest strength.
Okay, so I agree with you. I think that's a perfect fit there. I think Joey Porter Jr. would also be, I think, defensive back in general.
Yeah, he'd be great. He'd be great, yeah, too. I think Witherspoon's a little bit better.
Okay, so pick 15, the Green Bay Packers, who right now are kind of in flux. I am going to assume that the Green Bay Packers are going to be without Aaron Rodgers, that Jordan Love will be starting at quarterback, which means I need to get this young quarterback weapons. The two best wide receivers are off the board, but this is a really, really strong tight end class. So I'm looking tight end here.
Okay. The two Biletnikoff winners are still there.
The two Biletnikoff winners, yes. Jordan Addison.
Big loves those award winners.
And Jalen Hyatt.
He loves those award winners.
Yeah.
You know, big fan.
You got to bring home some hardware.
Jamar Chase won it one time. So he's pretty good.
You know what? I'm just trying to decide which tight end I want to take. Do I want to take Michael Mayer or do I want to take Dalton Kincaid?
Kincaid's been your guy, though.
Kincaid's been my guy. I think Mayer's better.
I think Mayer fits. I mean, I don't know. Mayer's more of a traditional tight end. Dalton Kincaid is more of just like a vertical threat.
But they're not going to run a lot of vertical stuff right now with Jordan Love.
And who are you replacing? Robert Tonyan.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not saying you draft someone.
You draft
because
someone
less
that,
athletic.
You draft someone that fits your team.
And I think Michael Mayer is that
Mayer
guy.
I think Mayer fits their team.
I do, too. So I'm going Michael Mayer, pick 15 to Green Bay.
Michael Mayer. Okay. This is interesting because I think with the Steelers picking here, Washington.
Washington. The Commanders.
Washington's picking, then the Steelers are behind them.
Right.
This is interesting. And I do think a trade might happen here because I think the Steelers really want Joey Porter Jr., but.
God, that would be such a. By the way,
that would be great continuity.
Yeah,
there.
That would be, that
but
would
I'm
be so
going,
perfect.
I'm jumping them since we're not doing trades here. I do think that they would be open that Joey Porter Jr. to Washington.
That would just be too that the storylines of getting
this is a Richard
move.
It is.
I'll remember that. Well, not even for me, you know. I'm not even picking for the Steelers, but would you have taken Joey Porter Jr. here?
100% I would have taken him.
You know, Pitt was.
If the Steelers were there at 17, just for continuity's sake. Also, he's a great player.
That was a jerk move I just did.
But yeah, for continuity.
No, it's what you do in draft rooms.
It's not a jerk
shrewd move.
It's not a jerk move. It's not a jerk move.
You
picked the best available player you could pick, so I don't blame you for that. In this case, though, and I, to be honest, I would be a little bit surprised if he makes it that far. I wouldn't be shocked if Joey Porter Jr. was taken ahead of like Witherspoon or taken ahead of Christian Gonzalez. I could see one of those two falling.
I really like Gonzalez, man.
Yeah, I like him too. But I could see a team like, oh, I like Joey Porter Jr. better because he seems like he's the better man cover guy. In this instance, at 17 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got a lot of different needs here, but I think you want to lean into your defense. You got a young quarterback. You do have some weapons on offense. A lot of young guys, though, you want to let your defense be a strength so your quarterback doesn't have to try to go out there and play hero ball. So I'm going to improve my defense. I'm going to go take safety out of Alabama, Brian Branch.
Brian Branch. Okay.
Branch.
probably the only safety that's going to be taken in the first round.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so now I get the Lions again. I love this. I got to make the Lions pick at pick six, and now I am back on the board with Detroit. So I'm really just deciding the Lions' fate here. I went Quentin Johnston. So I like a tight end here, but you know, you traded TJ Hawkinson last year, but I already got you the biggest, most physical wide receiver in the draft. Do I really? Do I go tight end here?
Jared Goff is a talent-dependent quarterback.
But now
so you want to load up on talent.
But hypothetically, I've already given them talent. I've given them the best offensive weapon in this draft.
In this league, I'd much rather have too much talent than not enough.
They took
just enough.
Two linebackers and four defensive backs were signed.
I mean, they have done a lot for their defense.
Actually, six.
But their offense is going to be their strength. You don't need a great defense. You just need a defense that's not awful. You need but in this league, you're going to win a lot more if you have a great offense. So load up on the great offense.
You went Aiden Hutchinson first overall last year. You really bolstered, or you have at least attempted to bolster your secondary.
They've attempted, yeah.
Cam
we'll
Sutton,
see what happens. You spend that much on defense.
Emmanuel Mosley.
You got to balance it out a little bit.
That front seven is still a little weak. And I don't think any team has ever said, I don't think any team in the history of football has ever said, you know what we did? We invested too much in our trenches. We put too much investment into our defensive line, our offensive line. This is a guy I was considering at pick six. And here he is at pick 18. Let the board speak. Lucas Van Ness. You said it was too early at pick six. They need help on the defensive front. Lucas Van Ness helps them. He might end up being one of the two or three best pass rushers in this draft class. So
it's a good thing you took him because I was going to take him for the Bucs.
Or are you?
Because they re-signed. They're losing people on the edge, and you know they always like getting to the quarterback. So that's something that I would have been considering doing if I was Tampa. But instead, since he's been taken, I'm going to go Nolan Smith, maybe one of the most athletic players. We saw at the combine, he's the edge for out of Georgia.
So I'll tell you what, I don't think Nolan Smith makes it this far. I think,
really?
Yeah, I think
he kept sliding.
I think he's going to end up being one of those dudes that teams are just going to say, okay, the physical traits are too hard to ignore. This guy's a freak. Like, I would not be shocked to see him wind up at like pick 9 or 10.
No, because I could totally see, because you remember like Bruce Irvin, the Seahawks did it with Bruce Irvin years ago.
Yeah.
Where they were like, we love the physical acumen this guy has. So let's bring him in because we think physically no one's going to be able to stop him on the edge. Mm-hmm.
He's been all over the board.
Yeah. And he didn't really
Reminds
work out. Like, he didn't really work out like that, but like, still, I don't blame them for taking the shot there. So I think there's a good chance Nolan Smith could be taken a lot higher.
He was just sitting there. It'd be perfect for the Bucs getting to the quarterback.
Okay, so now we are at pick 20. To you, Chris, the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock.
Okay, so I'm going to address a problem that the Seahawks have had, I mean, for at least a decade. Their offensive line is not super great. They have struggled to protect their quarterback. One of the reasons why Russell Wilson wanted out of there, among other things, like wanting to win an MVP and, you know, throw the ball a lot more than he was there. They have their quarterback, at least for right now, in Geno Smith. They've got some good weapons there. They now need to make sure that they protect their quarterback. And so I'm going to go guard out of Florida, Osiris Torrance. This kid was, he was really good at Louisiana. Went to the SEC, first year there, dominated SEC linemen. This kid can play in the league, and I think he's going to be great for them.
Yeah, he's somebody who has been creeping up in more and more.
He's very underrated. I don't think he's the best lineman right now, but I think he has a chance to end up being the best lineman from this class just because of how quickly he can acclimate to higher levels of play.
Okay, so the Chargers here at pick 21, you went all defense last offseason, right? You went and signed J.C. Jackson. You traded for Khalil Mack. I'm going offense here. I'm going weapons on offense here. Again, my two favorite wide receivers are off the board, but I guess it's pick 21, so that's to be expected. Austin Eckler is asking for a trade. Would you dare go out and just draft the next workhorse running back in Bijan Robinson at pick 21.
I think this is a reasonable time to take him. I would not trade for Austin Ekeler because he's at that age range where guys at that position start to decline. And he wants a bigger payday than the $6.25 million he's making right now. I'm not investing that in a late 20s running back. So I think it'd be a good pick for them.
I'm looking at him and I'm looking at Jordan Addison because I do think it wouldn't be outlandish for them to add another wide receiver.
Yeah, this is probably, unless Allen takes a big pay cut, this is probably his last year.
But the ability to catch on the backfield, too, and he's got that, Bijan.
Yeah, but you already had that in spades with Austin Ekeler. Is it wise for you to lose one running back and then spend your best asset on another running back?
That's what makes him go.
Yeah, I mean, especially if, like, what happens if things go more south with Ekeler and he's not playing for you this year?
Yeah. Okay. All right. You talked me into it. Bijan Robinson goes pick 21 to the Los Angeles Chargers. So now the Baltimore Ravens, who they might not be picking at pick 22 by the time the dust settles with Lamar Jackson stuff.
Lamar Jackson, who did say that he requested a trade back in
March 2nd.
Yeah, this was. The Baltimore Ravens, interesting group to me. I don't see quarterback here. I don't think they're going to find.
No. They'd have to trade up like 20 picks to get a quarterback. That's
one thing about Baltimore. It's just who their mindset is. It's what they are. It's dominant speed guys all over the defense, including that defensive line, especially defensive tackle. Kalijah Kancey, 6'1", 281 pounds. He ran a 4.67 at that speed. That speed, some people have him, you know, are going early. Some have him going the second, third round. I really like Kancey's athleticism off the chart. I think the ESPN Stats and Info gave it a 94 for athleticism at the combine this year. He just screams Baltimore Ravens to me.
Okay, Kalijah Kancey out of Pitt. So now Minnesota at pick 23, Chris.
So you stole my pick, Bink. I was going to take Kalijah Kancey there for the Vikings.
I have a habit of doing this.
You do.
So does he, though.
But I'm going to go with the guy that I think is also going to be a very good interior defensive lineman. That is Brian Bresee out of Clemson. He can, I mean, there was some talk he might be able to also play edge. I don't think that's going to be the case. They need the Vikings right now just need any help they can get on their defense. Their defense was awful, especially pass defense. Pass rush wasn't great. Secondary, not that great. They need any help they can get. And getting a guy like that who can rush the passer there, who can be a force in the run game, going to be very important for them. So I think Bresee's the guy.
Okay, so at pick 24, Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock. I really wanted to go defensive back here, and I feel like it's kind of the perfect little pocket in this draft for them to do that. I think they could also go with left tackle. They could go offensive lineman really anywhere. But I am going to stick with my initial pick, and I'm looking for where's Ringo? How far down do I have to scroll to get to Ringo?
I think Kelly might be like a second or third round value.
I don't know, man.
He was initially a first round corner.
So, okay, should I go? I mean, now I'm second guessing myself. Do I go Deontay Banks? Do I let the public dictate what I do here?
You do whatever you want because a lot of these picks are all over the place.
It's your mock.
Tariq Woolen went in the fifth round last year. That game was third in defensive rookie of the year this year.
Yeah, he was like a 4.2. Was it 4.26 40 time or something like
which
that?
Which I did mock him in the second round to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I wanted him.
I went three rounds too early, but you know what?
Yeah.
So he's a second round pick now, right? Maybe a first rounder.
For the record, Keely Ringo is on Pro Football Focus. He is the 74th ranked prospect. The average draft position by people who use the mock draft simulator is 58th. So picking him at 24th would not be a big value play for me here.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, but again, like this is based on like public valuation.
Yeah, that's true. And what does the public know? I'm going with Kelly Ringo. I mean, I've seen him more than I've seen any other cornerback in college football over the last 2 years, and he's just a good football player.
Ringo at 24.
So I'm going Ringo at pick 24 to Jacksonville.
It's not going to be popular with Kuiper or McShay, but you know,
they can take it up with me. All right, the New York Giants at pick 25, Bink.
You know, here's the one thing about him. Paris Campbell, these type of guys, they need weapons. They need weapons on offense. And I think the third best wide receiver gets taken here. Jordan Addison is going to the New York Giants. I just see offensive weapons for them. They see a running back. They gave Barkley the franchise tag this year. So you look at the receivers they brought in this offseason. Crowder, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, and Paris Campbell. No, get Jordan Addison.
Okay. I like that. It's been a little, it's taken them a little too long to maybe invest in weapons on the offensive side. So,
guys are bringing back, but
we're coming down the home stretch here. Pick 26, the Dallas Cowboys, Chris.
So, the Cowboys need some weapons. They really need to invest in some weapons bad. And
they're crying over it'd be OBJ.
I know, right? They really I mean, the fans wanted OBJ. The team realizes probably not a good investment.
He's been going to Mavericks games.
I know. I mean, I think OBJ really wants to be a Cowboy, but I don't think that's going to happen because I honestly don't see Jerry Jones investing that much in a receiver in his 30s. I think this is where Dalton Kincaid gets drafted.
I like this. Mm.
They get themselves a tight end, you got him right. Safety yep. net. You wanted him, right?
No, I felt yeah. that they'd be a good fit for the Bengals.
Yeah. I thought yeah, a lot of people have the Bengals taking a tight end. I think this is perfect for them. They get a nice safety valve type guy, especially in the red zone. They, you know, not having Zeke means that red zone, they're not going to have that red zone running back the same way. So get you a guy that's a safety net receiver over the middle of the field. This is perfect for them.
Who's he going with again?
He's going with Dalton Kincaid.
Okay,
Kincaid. Cowboys, Kincaid. 26. Okay, man. So I am on the clock now with the Buffalo Bills at pick 27, and I'm going one of two positions here. I am going cornerback, or I am going wide receiver. And if I go wide receiver, I'm not taking a slot. I'm not taking a possession receiver. I'm not taking a slot. If I go receiver, Bink, I'm going Jalen Hyatt. If I go receiver, Bink just leaned back in his chair. Like, don't you dare. But I do think, like, he...
I don't think... Because I have the Bengals next, and I'm not going wide receiver.
Well, Jalen Hyatt would be, like, hedging your bet on Gabe Davis to just say, hey, maybe this guy's not going to be somebody we build around. Let me put someone opposite Stephon Diggs who can take the top off of defenses while he does his thing and just create separation everywhere on the field. I don't think it would be that outlandish.
Here's the thing. I do think wide receivers in play. I think they also got to look at linebacker now Edmonds they lost to the Bears. So you got to think about that as well because their defense has been very good for them.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why they've been so competitive. And I think if you know, with him out of the equation now, that's going to hurt them a lot, especially against the run, especially in pass coverage. Like they're really going to be hurting without him. So I think linebacker's a position you want to think about as well for the Bills. That's a team, though, I don't think is going to be quite as obvious what they're going to
definitely,
do.
You saw what happened to him when Von Miller get hurt.
Yeah.
That was just a different team.
And pass rush could be something that they look at, too, because you're right. As soon as they lost Vaughn,
different team.
They were not the same defense that they were before, and that was the biggest reason why they lost to the Bengals. Terrible offensive line they were going up against. They couldn't get to Joe Burrow.
And everybody gets to Joe Burrow.
Everybody
second
gets
most
to
quarterback
Joe Burrow.
Sack last 2 years.
I'm doing it. I'm going with my gut. The more I was listening to you talk, but I was just continuing to think about where the Bills are at and what they're going to try and build on. I think they're going to keep trying to add weapons on offense. So I'm going Jalen Hyatt for the same exact reasons why I mocked Jalen Hyatt to the Chiefs last week, because I'm going with the highest potential. I'm going with the highest upside player for that offense. We have Josh Allen at quarterback. What do you want? You want someone who can run past every defender. Jalen Hyatt's the only guy in this draft
but
class
who can
do that.
But can he play in the snow? He's from the SEC. That's always the question.
I mean, if he's going to play in the snow, he's got to be able to do it here, too.
Tua said, I was working out in Maryland. There was some snow. It snowed in Alabama one time.
That one day, a few years ago.
Can Jalen Hyatt play in the snow?
We'll find out, because they'll have plenty of it until they build that dome up in Buffalo. So, Bink, you are back with the Bengals at pick 28.
I'm good. Definitely going tight end here. That's the one piece I'm thinking they need explosive.
They really need it
on offense. Musgrave is out there still, correct?
Correct. Musgrave. Yeah, only two tight ends off the board.
But Darnell Washington, I think, fits the bill. His athleticism, just a devastating blocker up front, and they're going to need that with Joe Burrow. They need that extra protection on the outside. They've been working on a contract with him going forward. So One of your favorite and one of my favorite too, mm-hmm. Darnell Washington, tight end out of Georgia, standing in at, well, he's not 6'6". He said at the pro day he's 6'7". The combine had him at 6'6". But the pro day, you know, numbers only, who cares? 6'6", 6'7", I don't care, it's big. Darnell Washington to the Bengals.
So for the Saints at 29, I mean, this team has a lot of ways they could go. I mean, they got Derek Carr. So what? They have a decent wide receiver. I mean, obviously, like, we don't know what's going to happen with Michael Thomas. He hasn't really played very much in the last couple seasons. And then Chris Olave was really good for them last year. So, like, weapons-wise, they're probably fine, but not great. But I think, again, and I've said this about teams with mediocre to prospective quarterbacks, you want to lean into your strength. Even though they've had issues, it's not quite as good as what it has been. Defense is still the strength of the team. And I think you want to allow that to be the strength of your team still. So if I'm them, I'm going to go Miles Murphy, edge rusher out of Clemson.
Damn it.
And it's a total value pick because Miles Murphy's probably a top 10 pick. Probably, at least top 12.
Probably at least, I think at worst, top 15. But I think they're, like, I'm sure that for them, they're like, we can't believe he fell this far. So in that instance, I think you go Miles Murphy.
I don't love that. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm sure you don't.
I don't love it.
Close to the Chiefs. Is it the Eagles and the Chiefs?
There's a guy sitting there.
I know.
That I know you'll be cool with there at 31.
Okay, so at pick 10, we had the Eagles selecting Peter Skoronski, tackle out of Northwestern. So you've gotten your offensive line taken care of. I like that pick a lot. I think the other obvious need for the Eagles, at least in the immediate future, and you're trying to compete to win Super Bowls, is you need edge rushers. I want someone opposite Hassan Reddick. I want more of a prototype. And to me, the best prototype edge rusher in this draft, or at least on the board right now, is Felix Onyedike Uzomah out of Kansas State. So I think you could go with Will McDonald out of Iowa State here. You could go with BJ Ojulari, but I just like the physical makeup of Felix Onyedike Uzomah, so that's who I'm going with at pick 30. So now, the moment we've all been waiting for, Bink, one pick left in this mock draft.
I think this one should be easy for you.
And it's Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought we were doing it together.
I think this one.
Well, why don't you lead the way, and if we decide that we want to call an audible, we'll let you know.
Darnell Wright, right tackle at Tennessee, devastating player. Great on the outside, and Anton Harrison, a guy that barely gave up any pressures at Oklahoma. If we're going left tackle, because the receivers I all wanted are gone.
Zay Flowers still on the board?
I know Zay's still there.
And
I like Zay, but I like these other receivers better than I have Zay.
I really like Zay Flowers here. You look at the way he was used at Boston College, very similar to the way that the Chiefs used Tyreek before, a lot of orbit motion. He was in motion all the time. I think he's obviously not as fast as Tyreek. Nobody is. But I think he gives you the kind of versatility that Tyreek did. I think you could use him in a ton of different ways. I think he's a more polished receiver than I think a lot of people want to give him credit for. So I think he actually would be perfect for this team if Jalin Hyatt isn't there. I like Jalin Hyatt more because I think Jalin has a higher upside. I actually think Zay Flowers might be a safer pick, though, because I think he's got a higher floor than Jalin does.
To me, it's Sky Moore. I mean, he ran a 4.42, Sky a 4.41.
I don't think
similar skill set.
Yeah. So can I comment on that really quick? Because I've heard that a lot, is that, you know, this draft class, by the way, is full of dudes who are sort of built like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, there's a whole lot of 6 foot, 175-pound receivers.
And I know that turns people off to the point where you say, well, you've already got Kadarius Toney, who's 6 foot, but he's more slender build. You just had Mecole Hardman for 4 years. You've got Sky Moore, who's a little bit shorter. When you look at the history of Andy Reid wide receivers, it's not an accident. And I think people have a tendency to say, well, there's too much overlap. That's the type of receiver that he wants. He wants guys who create separation.
Except he really liked Juju.
He did.
You don't hear him texting receivers like he did Juju 2 years ago.
But how did they use Juju? Like, Juju is a big physical receiver, and you think like, oh.
But they coveted him.
But what they used him underneath, and they used him as a possession receiver. So he didn't, Juju wasn't great at creating separation, but Juju was really good in yak. So you have to do one or two things. He's not ever going to go after the prototype who's just going to make circus grabs. Like, he wants dudes who can separate. And even though Zay Flowers, yes, it seems like there's a little bit of overlap there. He's a slot receiver.
He's
like,
that's great speed, 4.42. He's 5'9".
He does not have that top end.
So you're
speed.
Thinking Zay as well?
No.
See, I'm sitting there thinking, there's a couple things.
No, Chiefs I just wanted to sound off on that.
Oh, the Chiefs didn't do this in free agency, and we're looking at right tackle, and you think, oh, can Lucas Niang finally have the chance, or Darian Kennard? I don't know, man. Darnell Wright is the best right tackle in this draft. Darnell Wright, Anton Harrison, I put them both the same. To me, the choice is offensive tackle because you took my top four.
Okay,
receivers.
So I was going to go Will McDonald the fourth here, but it seems like you guys are on opposite ends, and I don't want to add a third option on the table, but I just want to let it be known. I think Will McDonald the fourth is a freak of nature. I don't care that he's 24 years old.
He is.
He's a freak. He's got long arms. He's explosive. Like, that's just exciting at that position, especially at pick 31. But since you guys are split here between left tackle on one side and wide receiver on the other, not knowing right now what they're going to do at either position, I would ask you guys, what do you think is easier to fix between now and the draft, wide receiver or right tackle?
I think it's right tackle, because I very much think the Chiefs look at their situation and they think they can find a replacement at right tackle a lot easier than they can at wide receiver. The Chiefs have a particular kind of wide receiver. I think they are very confident in their ability to go take a guy like a Niang or a Kennard, or maybe find somebody out there as a rental. I mean, we forget Andrew Wiley was a guard that they converted to tackle out of an emergency situation. Before him, it was Mike Rimmers, who was a guard that they converted to tackle as an emergency situation. They very much don't covet that role as much. I mean, aside from like Mitchell Schwartz, who they paid a lot of money to be their right tackle, they generally are not a team that's going to go out of their way to try and spend a lot of high value assets at right tackle. So I'm very confident that they could at least find a solution that works for now there and focus more on trying to rebuild their weapons for their quarterback. Because at this point now, your strength is Patrick Mahomes, and you lean into that when you can.
Bink, ultimately, I think this decision rests with you.
The one thing about Anton Harrison is it's a left tackle. You're asking to play right, which,
right, yeah.
Again, can you groom him and say, well, eventually that's your left tackle,
yeah,
and you put Juwan back of a right? I don't know. I don't think you take a rookie and put him at left tackle. But it's a guy that he had a start at Oklahoma at right tackle. Predominantly, he's a left tackle. That's where he played his junior and senior year. He's a tremendous player. If they do this, it's got to be OBJ, and it's got to be trading down in the second round for receiver.
Yeah.
Because Zay Flowers is still going to be out there if I don't go this direction. But the two hot spots as far as, the really, really necessary is, and I think of Mahomes, protect Mahomes, give Mahomes weapons. As much as I want to go Zay Flowers, I think that's settling. I'm going to go Anton Harrison. That would be my pick.
Okay, so final pick. You're going Anton Harrison?
Final answer.
He should be near the top of that already.
Okay, there he is. I was looking for the Oklahoma. Okay, and there we go, guys.
Do they have him as the top tackle? Or do they have...
He was the top remaining.
Yeah, he was top. Yeah. They gave him the edge over. And there was also Duan Jones, who is still on the board as well.
The right tackle from Ohio State.
All right, guys. So,
are you guys happy with that, though? Because I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I will say this, though. The Chiefs don't really care. I mean, obviously, we saw that with Juwan Taylor. They don't care what side these tackles play at if they think they got the versatility there. Eric Fisher was a left tackle, moved over to right for his first couple of years with the Chiefs before he moved back over to left. So, if they think you have the athletic ability to play tackle, they also think you probably have the athletic ability to play on either
first
side.
First team All-American, first team All-Big 12.
Yeah, so like if they made that move, like I would understand it, because they clearly would view him as someone who's versatile enough to move over.
So now
are
that we
okay with that name?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think going
all our names are going on this.
So here's why
well,
I wanted
your name.
So here's why I wanted to do this. So I wanted to go through and here's the thing with mock drafts too. The first round mock drafts is these are basically, and teams will do these. Like, teams do mock drafts. I know everybody thinks they're silly. Like, the people who don't like them think they're silly. NFL teams do these. because they want to know all the different scenarios that could possibly play out to try and figure out what their options may be, plan A, plan B, plan C. And the Chiefs are doing plenty of this as well. I've done a few of these. I'm sure you guys have done these. The one thing that seems clear after doing this and after doing a couple of these is that you're not going, like, if wherever the wave of wide receivers are, because that's the popular pick right now, is the Chiefs need to add receivers. Wherever that tier is, it seems like the Chiefs are out of it, like of being able to get one of those elite pass catchers. I don't think you're going to be able to sit around at pick 31 and be able to get one of those guys. However, it does seem like there is going to be value at pick 31, whether you're looking for an offensive lineman or an edge rusher. It seems like just the way that other teams need positions, and mainly I think you're looking at pass catchers in the early 20s. You're looking for offensive weapons in general. Like, we had a big run of running backs and wide receivers there from basically pick 15 to pick 26. And if that's the way it ends up panning out, that could work in the Chiefs' favor if they're okay with sticking at 31 and going after an edge rusher or an offensive lineman.
But in this scenario, it would be only moving up three or four spots if a Jalen Hyatt's still out there for the Chiefs.
So you think that's the most they would move up in the first round? Pick 25, 26?
Or 22, something like that. Well, it's not going to be extremely costly to do that if that's where the direction they went it. I really wanted a wide receiver here, but, you know, here's a guy, Anton Harrison, 446 snaps, one sack, one quarterback hit. Now, one quarterback hit was the sack he gave up. I really want a wide receiver, though, with him, but do I see the Chiefs moving up? Possibly. I really think they covet a wide receiver at the spot, unless it's like an OBJ or DeAndre Hopkins. We'll say they get the trade done with DeAndre, and who knows? It could even be done by the time this podcast posts.
Yeah, I will say this. I do think if they're trading up, at this point now, if they're trading up, it's going to be a receiver. And it's going to be because there was a run on receiver somewhere in the teens, and they're like, okay, well, we kind of feel like maybe the Bills are going to take a receiver, and we kind of want to get ahead of them. Much in the same way, like, we've seen a lot of teams try to get ahead of the Chiefs to go get guys. And last year in the first round, like, I don't think any of us saw the run on wide receivers happening as early as it did, where guys like Jahan Dotson are going at 15th overall to the Commanders. Like, I think at that point, you have to account for that. And I think the Chiefs have to be aggressive if they really covet Jalen Hyatt the way I think that we do. If they really do, then or Zay Flowers or someone like that, they got to go out there and make sure they get him ahead of the Bills if they feel like the Bills are going to take
on the
receiver.
Trade value chart, pick 31 is assigned value of 190. So they would have to, who's going to trade with them? That's one thing. Is there trade partners that would trade with the Chiefs? Buffalo,
Seahawks?
Not going to happen. Cincinnati's not going to happen. New Orleans, sitting at 29, it's only 12 more points in value, could be a situation.
See, I'm looking more towards the late
Minnesota
teens,
23.
Late teens, early 20. 20s.
I think 20.
Because I look at these. Okay, so the Lions already picking at number 6. Like, they may not feel the need to sit there at 18 after already getting one of their guys at pick 6.
Yeah, I would think 20, because, like, you want it. Because in that case, you would be getting ahead of the Chargers, who could, as you brought up, you talked about them potentially taking a receiver. They could do that, because Keenan Allen probably, very likely, playing his last year.
Let's run through these teams really quick. The Chargers are sitting there at 21. They could take a receiver.
Yes.
The Ravens are at 22. They could take a receiver.
Yeah.
The Vikings are sitting at 23. They could take a receiver.
They could, yeah.
24, I don't think the Jaguars will.
Maybe 25
the
with
Giants.
The Giants
absolutely could. The Cowboys absolutely could. The Bills.
I mean, we're talking
about six teams that could all be in on receivers. Exactly. So I think right around that late teens, early 20s is maybe that window if you do try to trade.
Detroit's value is 287 on that pick. Chiefs have 190. Their second round pick is worth 82 points. So you're essentially talking about trading your one and two.
What about 20? What's the value for 20?
The value for 20, we're sitting there at 269.
Okay. So,
again, it'd take your first and your second.
What's the... Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, if you feel like you need to do that to get a receiver that you really like, some people might not like that. But I feel like in that moment, we would have to give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt because they made an aggressive move to go get a guy. And we saw it work for him a year ago.
And they would be giving up the pick. the slot, but it would be 269 value points, Chiefs versus second round. It'd be right there.
Yeah.
It'd be right there. So that would be what it cost them, giving up their 31st pick to Detroit and then giving Detroit pick 63.
I think it's appropriate value. I think I could live with that if I was seeing them make that kind of a move to go get that question mark like that. I'd be cool with it.
Now, the real question is going to become, and we'll find this out, you know, in the weeks leading up to, is if the Chiefs view tackle as a position of need, much like we saw 2 years ago, right, when they were sitting there right before the Orlando Brown Jr. trade, and we came to find out that, no, they wanted a left tackle. They did the scouting, and they said, there's not a left tackle in this draft. Not one that we're going to get at the end of the first round. And that's when they made the move to go after Orlando Brown Jr. This looks to be a little bit deeper at the tackle spot. I'm going to be really interested to see how the Chiefs scout some of these dudes. Because if they don't take a left tackle, it's either A, they think that, or a right tackle, whatever. They think that Lucas Niang or Darian Kennard can fill in for a year, or that they just don't think there's a long-term answer that's going to be available at the end of the first round.
I think Anton Harrison could be. I mean, we're talking a guy that could go early in the first round, or maybe not in the first round at all. Or Darnell Wright. We're talking about two guys. And one thing I like about Anton is he's played left. So you have a left making that easy transition over to right. And he can do a lot of things. He's a versatile guy that could play on either side. And if in the future they say, no, it's our left tackle of the future, that's where they go. But I just think it's a value pick for the Chiefs. If they're not going to move up, this is who I think they take.
Yeah, I just judging by how the Chiefs go, I'm a little bit skeptical about the first round tackle. I just based on their recent history, they really value guys with experience playing on the outside. And I think they really think they know how to coach up guys to play that position.
I'm with you as far as left tackle is concerned.
Yeah.
I don't think you're replacing Wiley.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a huge difference between, I know Wiley's been in the league longer, but is there that much of a difference between him and Anton Harrison?
Yeah, but I'm sure, what about them versus a Niang or a Kennard or someone else?
But they have really no experience.
What about someone else? But that's what I'm saying, though, is like, in that case, Anton Harrison wouldn't have any experience either, so it would be the cheaper option to go with one of the guys you already have, or Tego Inogo, go with one of the options that you already have so you don't have to spend premium value.
And I'll say this, the Chiefs do value Oklahoma linemen. Hence Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's true. And Orlando Brown Jr. too. So,
yeah. Orlando Brown Jr.
Okay. Yeah, right. So they do. But like I said, I feel like they think they can find better value at right tackle. So I think it's probably more likely they take a big swing at receiver.
And this is taking a left tackle and moving the right tackles. Usually exactly, if you're a right tackle in college, you go, what are you doing playing right tackle just in college?
Yeah.
Well, we're moving a left tackle over to right.
Right.
It feels like we've stagnated a little bit because, I mean, at least in terms of the offseason, because in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it seems like we're just kind of all waiting for the Chiefs to do something because there are other holes to fill. You need to get a backup quarterback. You need to get probably some more help defensively, but it's very obvious they are waiting to see what happens with DeAndre Hopkins and or Odell Beckham Jr. And once you find out whether or not you're going to be investing financially in wide receiver with one of those guys, you don't really have the flexibility to do anything else. So I'm still waiting for something like that to happen, which I think will then set off a chain reaction.
Yeah, just like I think Andy Reid does value veteran presence, backup quarterback. He always has with Chase and Nick Foles and now Chad Henne. And the market's kind of drying up on that. The only reason I drafted Stetson Bennett in the first mock that we did, Mel Kiper says he's a 4-6 rounder at this point, so he's starting to climb up there, is just because ice water in the veins. He's played in the last two national title games, won MVP in those last two title games. So if you're not bringing a veteran presence, get somebody with the cojones with a big game to be able to deliver.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with Stetson. You take him 6th, 7th round if he's there. I think he's a great value. At that point, you're just trying to shore up whatever needs you have at that point. Or at that point, just take someone that you think could be a valuable contributor for you in even a small role. And I think he could be down the road. Teams aren't developing their backup quarterbacks like that, and we've seen the importance of having developing backup quarterbacks with teams like the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. It's a freak thing that happens, but it still happens, and you kind of want to be prepared for it just in case.
Well, this was fun, guys. I like that we did this. Gives you maybe a little bit of new perspective on what the Chiefs are going to be working with there at pick 31 if they decide to stay at pick 31. If you haven't already, please do us a favor. subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We appreciate it so much. The listeners are going up by the week. Can't thank you enough for tuning in. We'll be back again next Monday with another episode.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.